You'll find the scripture on the back of your bulletin, and there is actually an additional verse there from what you see inside. It says Galatians 5:23. We've included 5:22. I did that. We did that because we weren't sure that you knew what 5:22 was. And so I'll include reading that. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and I'm going to use the word patience instead of forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And then from Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 5 of the Beatitudes, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And then from the 11th chapter of Matthew, verses 28 and 29, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. May the Lord add His blessing to our reading of His Word and of our hearing of it. Well, I have a reminder for each one of you this morning, not that you don't know this, but every one of you, every one of us, all of you who are here, all of your friends, all your loved ones, and that guy or gal out there on the street in Carbondale that you don't even know, all of us have a gift of an additional 24 hours this year. That's in the whole scope of the year. Additional 24 hours. It's going to be given to us tomorrow. Tomorrow is the truly extra day that we have this year. The extra day of February. Extra 24 hours before we move on to the month of March, as we usually do, as we did the day after February 28th last year. Yeah, last year, the next day was March the 1st, not February 29th, like tomorrow will be. And so what do you do with that extra time that we all get? Well, how about spending the whole day expressing love in as many ways as possible? And why that? Well, because we here gathered this morning at Boskydale are all children of God. And we want to do what our Father has taught us, what our Father has placed in us through the fruit of the Holy Spirit that is within us. See, you know how that starts out. The fruit of the Spirit is love. God, our Heavenly Father, is the whole thing about love. He's all there is. And anything that has to do with genuine love starts with our Father. God loves you. By His love, He has something wonderful for you, for each of us. Scriptures tell this to us, and the epistle of 1 John is so rich in describing the true and full nature of love, the love of God, that something wonderful that fully shows the love that God has for us. Yeah, I'm going to read some. 1 John 3:16. That's not John 3:16, that's 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. 1 John 4:9. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. 1 John 4:10. This is love. Not that we love God, but He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. 1 John 4:16, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. And I could go on verse after verse. 1 John is deeply rich in describing love as it's defined by the nature and the character of God, and how love is revealed to us by God. The main point that John drives home is that the Almighty, loving Heavenly Father God sent His Son Jesus, not only to save us from eternal separation from the Father, but also through love to enrich and enlarge and improve our lives. So when the Holy Spirit of God entered our hearts in that deeply abiding love, He came to transform us from within through the abiding presence of His love. Now, we've been considering the fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in the lives of people who, through a real conversion of their hearts, cooperate with Him, allowing Him to grow us, as, for instance, a tree grows its fruit. Got a little familiarity with that around here, don't we? You folks who have apple and peach trees know how it is a tree that grows the fruit. So today we examine the part of the fruit called gentleness or meekness, or sometimes characterized as humility. See, actually, no single English word fully translates the meaning of just one Greek word, protes. That's what's there in this passage. It's translated in the NIV as gentleness. Now, most of the time in this message today, I'll probably be using the term meekness more than gentleness, but they mean pretty much the same. Oh, and I also have to tell you that my plan was to complete this series of sermons on the fruit of the Spirit, but because of the Sunday that we got snowed out, I've run out of available Sundays. The next message, the final one, was to be on self-control. But with the coming of just a few Sundays that we have left before Easter, I'll be moving on next week to some sermons preparing us for the Holy Week that leads us to Easter Sunday. So, in the spirit of today's sermon, I will meekly ask you to forgive me and to use your self-control to calm any feelings of yearning for a sermon on self-control. Thank you. So, we'll move on. You know, many people think that the idea of the gentle quality of meekness refers to a person with no strength or even no courage, and even a person with probably a very poor self-image. But I must strongly say this understanding of meekness does not represent this particular quality of the fruit of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit is seeking to produce within us. In the New Testament, meekness, gentleness, humility, however you choose to say it, is a positive and courageous quality expressed in both our attitudes and our actions. The New Testament concept of being a gentle person of meekness reflects a distinctive attitude toward our fellow man and toward God's dealings with us. So let me give you some biblical instances of the use of the term meekness. For we who want to be Christ-like, probably we should start with how Jesus both characterized and conducted Himself. Christ used the term meekness to describe His own disposition. Matthew 11:28-29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. By the way, that's the translation as recorded in the King James Version. And here it is, translated in the NIV version, the one that we've read. It's printed in your bulletin. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. So let me read those both for you again, just listen carefully. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. King James, NIV. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You see, that's a really good illustration of how the concept of gentleness is characterized by all of those words. Gentle, humble from the NIV, meek, and then add in lowly from the King James Version. So I'm not going to keep on mentioning that all the time, that multiplicity of verbiage, but you'll hear some. The term meekness as gentleness is described with Christ as the Messiah King as he entered the city of Jerusalem in his triumphal entry, which we'll be observing in Holy Week, Matthew 21:5. Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle, and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And Matthew there was quoting the messianic prophecy that you'd find in Zechariah 9:9. Christ came for his triumphal entry into Jerusalem as king, but also in the humility of riding on a lowly donkey and in gentleness, as it says. But if you read that, then we go on immediately to read that shortly after his triumphal entry, he entered and vigorously cleansed the temple area, driving out the money changers. Notice right there that meekness is not weakness. That temple cleansing incident doesn't even hint at weakness. Christ was meek, but he was not weak. You see, Christ was enabled to be meek because he had the infinite resources of God at his disposal. The infinite resources of God right there for him. Well, guess what? So do we. We have that as we call upon the power of the Spirit in our own lives. Then Jesus used the term meek very positively in the third beatitude that we've read, Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Apart from being one of meekness, if you aren't a person of weakness, Jesus taught, you're not going to be able to progress in the inheritance of a Christian life here on earth. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And a humble gentleness is listed as a part of the spiritual garment that we are to put on as a genuine follower of Jesus Christ. Thus, Paul admonished the Colossian Christians to dress themselves as God's chosen son had been dressed, Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Well, the New Testament gives us some great examples of gentleness or meekness, whichever way we want to say it. Christ was gentle, humble, weak. That was one of our final texts, the various texts that we had for this morning, Matthew 11:28-29. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. And in Matthew 21:5, the passage about his triumphal entry into Jerusalem that we've already quoted, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey. We've made the point that because he was meek does not mean that Christ was weak. He was meek toward his Father God in that he was completely open and instantly responsive to God's will for his life. And that comes into full display often, but perhaps most vividly in the tears that Christ shed in the garden. You see, those tears were tears of humble and gentle submission to God's will for the sacrificial death that he was facing that was imminent. They were not tears of weakness. His inner strength was immediately displayed as he boldly faced the arresting temple guards and Roman soldiers. He submitted to them and admonished Peter to do so with humble strength of soul, not out of frightened and scared weakness. Now let me say from an external viewpoint, a misunderstanding person, I'd have to add a non-believer, may consider Jesus' attitude of meekness during those dark hours to be weakness because he quietly submitted with no resistance. Well, he submitted to a series of unjust trials, to a terrible, almost deadly scourging, and then to a horrible death on a cross. But in reality, you see, that's what the non-believer sees and says, oh, he just was too weak to speak up. But the believer sees and knows that Jesus was right there and then demonstrating both his divine love for people and his humble, gentle submission to his Father's will as he went humbly to the cross. Now, I believe that you see how the cross of Christ most highly expresses the true and strong, but gentle and humble meekness. And along with the examples of Jesus, there are other children of God who have demonstrated God's gift to the inner soul of gentleness, of meekness, both before and after the life of Christ. Moses, among many others of the Old Testament Hebrews, exemplified the gift of humility and meekness. Numbers 12:3, I know you read that one a lot. But Numbers 12:3 says, "Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth." Did you ever read that? I'm sure you recall all those stories about Moses who defied Pharaoh and boldly led the Israelites through a march of 40 years through the wilderness toward the promised land. And I believe you would agree with me. After he fled from Egypt because he had killed an Egyptian, there was not much anymore about a Moses that was weak. He was a strong, stalwart, courageous individual. But he's recognized by Scripture as humble. The Old Testament called him humble because he was open to God's guidance and he obeyed God's will. And Paul is a prime example in the New Testament, among, of course, many others like Barnabas and Nathaniel and Silas and Peter and John and James and so many more. But Paul, for instance, demonstrated to the Philippian believers a humble and meek attitude as he was facing trial before the haughty and self-assured Roman Emperor Nero. He writes to them in Philippians 1, verses 19 and 20, "I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death." Not murmuring or complaining about his faith, Paul accepted his situation as an opportunity to glorify Jesus Christ, to help other people come to know Christ through his sufferings. And I say one of the reasons that we should invite the Spirit to develop gentleness within us is that there are New Testament commands concerning meekness. Because these are not instinctive qualities that are just naturally in every human being, gentleness, meekness, humility. They must be acquired from the Spirit and maintained by him. James 1:21 says, we should receive the truth of God's word with a humble spirit of responsiveness. He says, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. And 1 Peter 3:15 says, we should witness to others. And I fully believe Peter gave this guidance with the humble, gentle attitude he had toward those who joined him in following his master Christ. He said, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you. Of course, Paul had his own guidance given to him by the inspiration of the Spirit. So here's some of that. We should restore the wayward brother with gentle meekness, both toward God and toward the offender, as he says in Galatians 6:1. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. And he taught that ministers, like his beloved son in the ministry, Timothy, should desire gentleness. 1 Timothy 6:11. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. And he tells me, ministers should practice gentle meekness when correcting wrongdoers. 2 Timothy 2:24 and 25. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone. I'm supposed to be kind to all of y'all. Able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. Well, if gentleness and humility, meekness, is a part of the great fruit God's Spirit intends to put within us, surely God has provisions and promises for our gentleness and our meekness. Well, he does. Through his word, God offers and promises guidance to the meek and humble. Psalm 25:9. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. God offers and provides true prosperity to the meek. Psalm 37:11. The meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. God offers and promises ultimate victory to the humble and gentle meek ones. Psalm 149:4. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. Now, in closing, I return to the conclusion of our text for this morning, the last one that we read from Matthew 11. In one of the most gracious invitations in all of Scripture, Christ described himself as gentle and humble in heart. It's so gracious, I just need to read it again. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Well, brethren and sisters, probably shouldn't say sister, brethren and sisters, in our quest for Christ-likeness in ourselves, one of the great parts of the fruit of the Spirit that we're promised as followers of Christ comes to us down toward the end of the list of those qualities, the gentleness and humbleness of heart that would be found in the life of the Savior. So as we seek to grow in his likeness, we can greatly do so by bringing forth this quality of the fruit given by His Spirit. And we are to do it humbly and gently. Christ was declaring that He would be open and responsive when people brought their needs to Him. He was also declaring that He would deal with their needs gently, kindly, and graciously. As the world brings its needs to the people of God, brings its needs to us on this little hill, the gentle people of Boskydale, let us always so deal with the needs brought to us gently, and kindly, graciously. Only the Son of God could extend such an all-inclusive invitation. And so, in the like way, only God's people know how to follow Him, to be inclusive in our gentle invitation on His behalf. May we be a people. May we be individuals who always gently say, no matter what your spiritual condition may be, come to Jesus with confidence, trusting that the Christ of God will be there for your salvation, for satisfaction, for security. And thus may we all have a meek life of significance and helpfulness to others. Will you join me in an amen?
Amen. Amen.